You in show business, kid? You sure know how to make an entrance.
Look, you gotta do something. Jason's alive. He killed my friend, and now he's coming for me.
You gotta cool out, boy. You already almost got your head blown off.
Will you listen, damn it?
Don't piss me off, Junior, or I will repaint this office with your brains.
Look, Jason is alive. We dug up his body. I was gonna cremate it.
Hold it, whoa. What's your name, son?
Well, Tommy Jarvis, but look, we've gotta do something. He's even more powerful now.
Aren't you the kid whose mother and friends were killed by that maniac?
Yeah. Jason murdered him.
You've been in some psychiatric clinic ever since, haven't you?
What the hell's going on with the weather?
Sorry, I didn't know you had
no problem, Rick. I want you to meet a former resident here, Tommy Jarvis. He's got some kind of prank.
Look, there's no time for this bullshit. Jason's gotta be stopped.
What prank, Mike?
Hey!
Now that's what's known in the books as screwing the pooch. Iron this punk.
This podcast may contain horse language. Listener discretion is advised. Attention, if you are opposed to Body Rockin' Podcasts, please turn this off now. You've been warned. It is me, Misty Darling, and it is time for Flick Smacks. It's October, and that means it is Halloween time. The season for spooky and scary is upon us. Here are two big horror nerds to get the fright started, your hosts, Scott and Terrence.
Oh, here we go. We're doing it. We're live.
We are
live once again. And yes. Hello and welcome to Flick Smacks, the pod that rocks your bod. We got a wild one here. We're recording on the 1st of October. We all know It's scary, spooky.
Spooky wild, season.
Spooky season. It's Halloween time.
Mm-hmm.
And here on the pod that rocks your bod, we're all about the scares. We're all about the scares at this time of year. We're all about the scares.
Oh, that was very creepy. Were you trying to be seductive?
Well, this is my voice after being sick for a whole calendar week.
Oh.
So it's spooky.
Oh, fuck, very spooky.
Did you just say fuck?
No, I said very spooky.
I think you dropped the F-bomb.
Oh, it wouldn't be the first time.
I know.
That's quite all right.
Yes. Anyways, I'm Terrence, and with me is this guy. Who are you?
I'm Scott. Not Terry.
Oh, no, you're Scott.
I'm Scott. You're Terry.
Cool, yes. Man. It's nice to see you again.
We
saw each other this week. We had some Asian buffet.
Yes, we did.
Which kind of made me feel a little like trash when I got home, but...
Yes.
Then we did some roaming around. We did some things.
Yes, we did.
But we can talk about all that later.
Sure. Why not?
So I left everybody in a whirlwind of suspense.
Oh, yeah.
Last episode because I did not prepare a top picks list.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to reveal it now. You know what it is.
I'm still nervous about it. I can't. Oh my god! I don't know how to take the reveal.
Our topic for this week is.
Oh my god!
Because it is. Because it is spooky season.
Oh my god!
Will be.
Oh my god!
Our top. Top 10. Favorite horror movie franchises with the caveat of favorite chapter and least favorite chapter.
Yes, with a minimum of three movies per
franchise. Yes, because you're not really a franchise unless you have three movies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the name of the game this week.
Yes, and yes. Just because we haven't revealed it, you know, just for continuity, we have to say that this is episode 14 of season 5.
So
you can mark that. You can fill in your bingo card for that.
That's right. October 1st also.
Yes.
You probably won't be listening to this on October 1st because we're not that efficient.
Probably not. No, and we apologize for the length in between because the last episode got misplaced because it didn't go where it was supposed to once it recorded. And so you guys were left in suspense even longer to find out what the theme was because we could have put this up earlier, but yeah, you know, our new podcast creator chose to not put it where it's supposed to. And I know Terry knows where to put it.
And we had too many episodes uploaded.
We think that might be the issue. But if that wasn't the issue, I do know how to correct the issue now and to upload it.
You're smart.
I mean, it's crazy, and this is the kind of information that people tune into the podcast for.
Oh, and I've got a new microphone this week. I went out and bought it today and I think it's working a lot better.
Yes, it sounds lovely.
I retired the old Yeti. The old Yeti. I think it was having some difficulties. So Yeti. This is the fresh Audio Technica, just like my record player.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wait.
So, well, let's go with the usual. Start with personal challenges.
So I did do a personal challenge. I got a couple movies in.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really go in order of the binder because that's,
right.
You know how that goes. Like,
right.
You just don't really want to do anything with movies that
gross. That you kind of seem to be forced to watch it. It makes it harder to watch.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Forced
so, by gunpoint.
All right.
I'm
going with a horror theme in October, obviously. Okay. So I watched Nightmare on Elm Street 4, which I had the Blu-ray for I don't know why, because I have the whole collection.
Right.
And I watched Sinister again, which I know you hate Ethan Hawke's guts.
Yeah, but he dies in it. Spoiler alert. He dies in it, so it's fine.
Yeah. It's actually a good movie.
It's pretty creepy.
It's very creepy. I think it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And kids are fucking evil.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it's been scientifically proven to be the scariest movie of all time.
I don't know about that.
They had a bunch of people watching it. They're hooked up to electrodes. So based on jump fears, people's breathing and heartbeat and all that kind of stuff, science proved that it was the scariest movie of all time.
Well, so, okay.
Yep.
Fuck science.
You're flat earther.
And Nightmare 4, I believe it's the Dream Child, is it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. After part 3, the franchise gets really stupid. Freddy becomes more of a comedian than an actual slasher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Too many one-liners and just
too many one-liners. Too many. It starts. The killings start to repeat. I'll give them credit. They tried to have some continuity with the storyline, but
Nah. All right. So I my personal challenge was to watch some of the new releases available to me on Shudder because I hadn't watched any for a while, and I managed to get through 4 of them.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Glorious, which I believe you started watching or at least finished. That's pretty wild. What's one called Watcher? This was Maika Monroe from It Follows and The Guest and whatnot. So that wasn't bad. I watched one from a foreign film. Can't remember where it's from. Let me just see. I don't want to get it incorrect because people might try to punch me. This is from Senegal. It's called Salem. This was really different, and it was quite good. I mean, I don't want to give away too much, and it's been a while, but I want to talk about the next one called Speak No Evil.
This is Danish and Dutch.
It's actually a co-production because the others. This thing was wow.
I've heard.
Yeah, it is like the ending is just absolutely crazy, and you just have a feeling of being uncomfortable throughout the whole movie, and it's so true to life, like it could happen. It wasn't one of these outlandish things. There's no supernatural or anything. Like, I would put it in the same category as, say, like The Strangers, like the original one. It seemed got that same kind of overall tone. It was pretty crazy, and I quite enjoyed it. And the good news is, I mean, for those who don't like subtitles, there isn't a whole lot of subtitles in it because, you know, you got some Danes and you got some Dutch, but they both speak English. So they're speaking English most of the time, except which ones? But one of the couples that are in it, because couples become friends on vacation and then the other ones go visit them like months later. And it's kind of like, oh, happy to see you. And one of the couples, they are always speaking their language when they're with each other and you see their subtitles. But when the other ones are around the other couple and they're speaking in their language, you don't get subtitles at all. Because I think that's supposed to add to you being uncomfortable and awkward or whatever. It's like you don't know what's going on because these people don't know what's going on. And it's pretty good. So there. Mm. So that was my personal challenge.
I also watched a movie on Shudder the other day,
mm-hmm.
entitled Trick or Treats from like 1981.
Yes, I was going to. I put that. I added that to my watch list.
With is it David Carradine? One of the Carradines is in it, and it's really cheesy. But for some reason, I couldn't stop watching it.
Let's see. Let's find out what. Yeah, it is David Carradine. Wow, is it an anthology or is it just a general?
No, it's just a straightforward movie.
Yeah, that's one I had. I saw that it arrived on Shudder and I added it to my watch list. I had to sing that just because. So, do you have a new challenge?
I'm just going to
continue it.
Just gonna keep doing it. Only horror movies though this month.
Okay. For myself, I'm gonna do a horror theme as well. For my Blu-ray collection, I've separated my horror from all my other movies, so I just have a special horror section. And they're on the shelf in stacks, not rows, because I can fit more that way. I'm gonna go and look in individual stacks and find one from each stack that I haven't watched before and put that in. So I'll be watching some new horror movies from my horror stacks. And yes, the best on wax and stacks and best on wax and all that stuff.
Boxes of Bush?
Yes, boxes and boxes. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to partake in some new horror viewings, which is pretty much any week anyways. So now, as been the case the last couple podcasts, we have ventured to the theater, had a little couple mandates and ventured to the theater saw some flicks and Terry, what was the first thing we saw?
I believe the first thing we saw was the David Bowie documentary art house film experience called Moon Age Daydream, which was really, really surprising, really different, and really good.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of like, I don't even really know how to describe it.
Well, I think it's like, there's no linear narrative. Like, obviously there's no voiceover. There's no storytelling in it at all. Like, it doesn't say David Bowie grew up here and this is where he came and all this kind of stuff. It just had jumps all over the place to kind of understand the person that David Bowie through his own words and interviews and other people might be talking about him, spliced with archival footage and concert footage and just like B-roll footage and of classic movies and stuff like that. But it's all to kind of give you the experience of getting to know David Bowie. It all kind of works together to give you that feeling of what he was. And then him being such a unconventional performer, I think he needed an unconventional biopic in order to really describe what he was and what he meant to people. So, yeah. But yeah, it was good. We saw it on IMAX, so it was right at us. IMAX.
IMAX, what?
What? IMAX. IMAX. IMAX.
And IMAX. We saw a little prequel called Pearl.
Pearl, yes. Prequel to X.
I'm just gonna get it out of the way right now. This is my pick of the pod, so we can just talk about it openly.
Okay. All right.
We can do your pick of the pod later, but this is my pick of the pod.
Okay.
Mia Goth is something else. Like
she was pretty captivating in this performance. Like there were so many different layers to her character, and she just hit them all. It was
like she fuck a scarecrow. She like that whole like, man, I don't know how long that monologue was.
It was like almost 10 minutes. Yeah, it was almost very close to 10 minutes, and like she and the camera was just holding on her the whole time, and it's just, and even just the final shot of the movie of her just smiling, looking right down the barrel of the camera, the different emotions she's going through with just that, it was just getting darker and darker, and it's definitely a slow burn, and there's some great bursts of violence at times, but she's the movie. I mean, it's as good as the story is around her and how it ties into the movie that actually came out earlier this year, X. Is really cool, and they are making a third one to follow with a different character, but she plays both characters. Pearl was quite good. It's was thinking about it a lot after seeing it.
Yeah, it's very well shot, very colorful.
It looks like, even though it's set in like 1918 or whatever, and obviously it was trying to mirror the time we were living in now, because it was taking place during the Spanish flu, and there are a lot of different, you know, elements that matched up with what we're going through now. The feel of the movie definitely felt like something from the 30s or 40s, like even just the font of the credits and how everything was presented, and just the feel. It was very, and the dialogue, when it was very lighthearted. When it opens and she's just kind of like prancing and saying hi to all the animals, just all that pace and banter really felt like an old time movie. And yeah, it really kind of embraced that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes. And I will add another one, because I had a family date night and we went and saw a movie at the theater entitled C-Spot Run. No, it's not. It's not C-Spot Run with David Arquette. We saw See How They Run. This is
with Sam Rockwell.
With Sam Rockwell and Saoirse Ronan and Adrian Brody and David Oyelowo. This is a new whodunit set in the 1950s London. It's very funny, very quirky. It's like an Agatha Christie meets like a Wes Anderson. It was very well done, and very defined characters and if you can, Saoirse Ronan steals the movie from Sam Rockwell. And for somebody to do that, that just shows what kind of good a performance she had. And yeah, it was quite enjoyable. We all liked it.
Is that right?
So there. Yes, we did. So there.
Even old Nate Dogg?
Nate Dogg liked it as well, yes.
All right.
All right.
Cool, man. Yeah.
Now on to our themey theme.
Whoa, our what now?
A themey theme.
Ooh.
Ooh, wee, themey theme.
Ooh, wee.
Hey, gang, it is me again, Misty Darling. Don't be scared, but horror movies are a hot topic here at Flixmax. And this episode's list fits right in. This countdown is the guys' favorite horror movie franchises, highlighting their favorite and least favorite volumes of said franchise. Let's not delay. Let's get this rolling.
All right. So like we mentioned at the top of the show, this is our favorite horror franchises. And we will be spotlighting our favorite and least favorite volume
to
the franchise.
Within that series, yes.
So I kind of have mine in a bit of an order. I wrote down 12. So
okay, well, I think I have more.
I'll have those for whatever.
Like honorable mentions. Yeah, and like I have mine in an order, but I just kind of slapdash that order together, and it probably could move around very easily.
All right. Mm-hmm. So why don't you start?
Okay. This one is a very strong guilty pleasure series for me.
And I know exactly what it is.
What is it? Is it the Wrong Turn series? The Wrong Turn series. I love this series. It is so unabashedly violent. Now it's always about these people in Virginia or West Virginia, and they get lost in the Appalachians, and there's a bunch of inbred hillbilly freaks that like to, well, probably cannibalistic, and then they like to torture and kill the people, and it's just a different people every time falling into the situation. And it is extremely graphic. It's hard to say what my favorite one. Like, the first one is probably the best story. The fourth one is the most violent. But I think I'll just stick with the first one because it's a good foundation for the series. And I even like the kind of the reboot that came out as well. That one was pretty good. Changed the villain, but it was quite good. My least favorite, I have two least favorites, but for two completely different reasons. My legit least favorite is part 5. I don't know why. It just didn't hit with me. And I find a lot with horror movies, they have a lot of stunt casting, meaning they throw in a bunch of other actors from different horror series and all that kind of stuff. I was like, look at who we cast, you know. And so this one had Doug Bradley in it from The Hellraiser, and it just didn't really work. But another part 6 is another least favorite because it's not easily available for me to buy. I bought 1 to 5 in a 1-pack set, and part 6 is like $50 if I want to try to buy it outside of the pack. And so it's like, no, that's not going to happen. And so that's why,
bucks.
Yeah, it's something like $40-$50 is some import, and I have to know. And so that's why I don't like it, because it's not easily available on Blu-ray.
All right.
Yes.
That's fine.
Yeah.
We all have different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, my first entry will be Rob Zombie's Firefly trilogy.
Yes. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, that's good.
So it kind of starts off as a true horror franchise, I guess.
Yeah.
With House of a Thousand Corpses, like, and then it goes to my favorite one of the series, Devil's Rejects, which is
a masterpiece.
Just a good film, good mm-hmm. movie in general. I think he cuts down on the cheese and ups the mm-hmm. violence.
Yep.
Kind of focuses more in on the family as a unit. Yeah.
And it's not as trippy. It's more of a linear movie that it doesn't yeah. have all these different effects to make it look all fucked.
And then it ended with the last one from a couple years ago, Three from Hell, which is more like Devil's Rejects, but I think with Sid Haig dying, he mm-hmm. kind of had to scramble and
right.
like rework some stuff, and a lot of it doesn't work. So it's my least favorite. It's not bad.
Yeah.
But it's not.
I think where
it's no Devil's Rejects.
Yeah. I think where it fails is that it's trying to be Devil's Rejects. It's trying to push yeah. too hard to recapture that. And some of the performances are just trying to add a bit more over the top. And I've never been a big fan of Sherry Moon Zombie. I mean, she's not
she's great. I think she's good in some things, but
yeah,
like I think she's really good in Salem. Is it mm-hmm.
Right? Lords of Salem.
Lords of Salem. Mm. But she's not playing over the top, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, like Devil's Rejects is hands down the best one. I do like House of a Thousand Corpses, but it definitely has flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's kind of all over the place a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, Devil's Rejects is probably his best movie that he's done for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. So my next one on the list is the Of the Dead movies from George Romero. Now, that being said, I have not seen the last two of these series. I have not seen Survival or what's the Cam one? That's with the found footage one.
Tape of the Dead or no, what is it?
Let's figure. We'll have to figure out. This is always good podcast listenership when they get to hear us looking.
Yeah, but up. Who remembers those ones?
Yeah, A Diary of the Dead.
Diary of the Dead. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen those two, so this is just based on the first four: Night, Dawn, Day, and Land. My favorite is probably Dawn of the Dead. This is the first one that was in color. Just a good political satire. Like just tongue-in-cheek humor, which is some crazy, awesome, violent special effects, practical effects. And yeah, it's just a really entertaining movie. My least favorite is probably Day of the Dead. I think it's tried to be too much like Dawn of the Dead. The zombies are a weird blue color for most of it. And I'm like, okay, that was just kind of off-putting. But yeah, that's probably my least favorite. And I really I like Land because that's just campy over the top. And Dennis Hopper is the villain and it's pretty cool. But yeah, no. So Dawn is my favorite and Day would be my least. And Night's pretty good too, but yeah.
Next for me is the Conjuring universe. I just threw them all together. My favorite is the original, The Conjuring.
Mm-hmm.
I think James Wan was like actually trying to make like a contemporarily classic horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did pretty good. Obviously it's borrowed from all sorts of different, you know, movies.
Yes.
But I think it's subtly scary. My least favorite one is the last Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It.
Even you dislike it even more than like The Nun or see, the Curse of La Llorona.
The Nun had some good stuff to it. I just think it was too like film too dark and too
right.
But The Last Conjuring is like, I don't know. It's too disjointed, and I thought it was supposed to be about werewolves at first, and then
yeah, that's what, kind of what
it they was made it about something else, and
became more of a courtroom drama as well.
Yeah, so I didn't care for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the bookends,
mm-hmm,
are kind of.
Well, and there's going to be a part four Conjuring as well that I think, or no, not part four. No, I was thinking of something else just because of Patrick Wilson. I was thinking that there's going to be a part five of Insidious, and Patrick Wilson's going to be directing that. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. All right. So my next one is, I'll put this, the Scream franchise. You know, this thing kind of brought slashers back to the forefront. You know, Friday 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, and at this time Halloween were on their last legs, and this kind of was an homage to a lot of those, and like it's very meta and very self-aware of what it was, but it still was able to surprise you and had some good deaths and twists and stuff. You know, and most of the movies, even up to the new one, which is still called Scream, even though it's Scream 5, was pretty good. So my favorite one is the first one, because that was just blew everybody out of the water because of its how fresh it felt. My least favorite is part three. There's just, they really retconned some stuff and force fed some of the twists in this thing that just didn't make sense. And
is that the one where it's the director that's the murderer?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, whatever. Scott Foley, I think, is the murderer. Whatever. Yeah, and it just forces the issue of how that person is related in the story to everything else, and it's just like really shoehorn things in, and it just really, really didn't work. But as a whole, it's a pretty solid franchise. So.
That's funny because my next entry is the Scream franchise.
Oh.
And my favorite is the original.
Oh.
But my least favorite is part four.
Right. Okay.
It's that would probably only, be my second. It's the only one that I shut off.
Oh, really?
Halfway through and couldn't finish it on my first watch because I was like, I've seen this Scream movie before three other times.
Right.
Like there's so many false starts and false this and false that. It's like, but you're right. Three is a clusterfuck.
Yeah.
Two is surprisingly good, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Laurie Metcalf, since I was a kid, I've always thought she's amazing, like because of Roseanne and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, she's literally like your crazy aunt.
You know
what I mean? And it's got, what's his name in it? Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, one of his earliest roles.
Oh. Yeah. But yeah, the original definitely, like you can take all those actors that are in Scream 1,
mm-hmm,
and that's their defining. That's their defining role, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
other than maybe Courtney Cox.
Well, yeah. But yeah, even Courtney Cox is like, oh yeah, Scream, right?
Yeah.
Like she was also in another show.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it, but whatever.
Misfits of Science?
Yes. And yeah, Dancing in the Dark, the Bruce Springsteen video.
Right, yeah.
So yeah, Scream. Let's fucking scream it out.
Scream. Okay, my next one is the Saw franchise.
Oh.
Now that there's like nine of these things, and the 10th one is on the way.
There's nine of them?
Yep. There are 9 of them. There's 7 up to, like, the last one's called Saw, the final chapter. Then there's Jigsaw, which is part 8. And then there's Spiral, which was the attempt of the reboot. This series is just, well, this series, you throw this into the subgenre of torture porn.
Some of them.
And yeah. And I like it because there's a lot of different creative deaths. And I mean, while the main killer, Jigsaw, or his minions or whatever, don't really kill the people, because the people have a chance to escape. He's trying to, correct their wrong by, having them face their own morality and be able to put them in a situation that's going to make them change their ways or whatever. So, certainly if they weren't put in that position, they wouldn't die, but he doesn't actually ever physically kill anybody. Yeah. Many, many creative deaths, many, many gruesome deaths. The first one, again, probably my favorite because it was so shocking, and the end twist was just like, holy shit. Like, it just came out of nowhere, and you're like, oh wow, this is like a solid horror film. Even if you didn't like, the gruesomeness of it, it had a really good twist ending. My least favorite is the newest one, Spiral. That was just shit. Like, it had
I don't know why they had to make it like a cop.
I don't know.
Like, it's just, they just like, it's like fucking just rebooting the whole franchise over with the same shit.
Yeah. And like, it's like Chris Rock is in it. I mean, I think this is the real reason why Will Smith slapped Chris Rock, is because of this movie. Like, this is the movie's terrible, and Chris Rock cannot do drama. Like, he was like just overacting everything and shouting every single line, even though he just should be having a normal conversation. And it's just, it didn't work. It was missing, the original, like Tobin Bell, who played Jigsaw. It was missing that. And I think the next one, even though Tobin Bell's character is dead, I think they are going to go back to that well for the new one that's coming out next Halloween. But yeah, no, that new one, Spiral, really fell flat, and it did absolutely nothing for me.
Crap.
Neat.
All right. So my next franchise is the Exorcist franchise.
Ooh.
Now, I have 2 favorites. Mm-hmm. The original 1973 and part 3 from
1990 or 91?
Was it 90? Yeah, 90, 91. I can't decide which one. I think part 3 is way freakier.
Mm-hmm.
But part 1 is like classic cinema.
Yeah.
My least favorite is obviously The Heretic. It is
Are you, when you rank all these, are you including Dominion and Exorcist, the prequel, as part of the franchise?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they're not good movies, but The Heretic is like, you follow up a, it's like, oh, let's make a sequel to The Exorcist, but let's make it as bland and as stupid as possible.
Yeah.
Like, it's not good. Not good.
No.
Exorcist 3, like, it scared the shit out of me when I was like 14 when I saw it. It's still, there's scenes where I'm like, I don't really want to watch them because they're freaky.
Yeah. Yeah. And Exorcist 3 is going to be getting a new life now because of the new Jeffrey Dahmer series. Cause you find out that it's one of Jeffrey Dahmer's favorite movies. So
rightfully so. Shit.
Mm-hmm.
And the original is just the original. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's landmark. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. My next one is another guilty pleasure, but I enjoy these movies even at their silliest, is the Final Destination series. Obviously about big catastrophes that are being, people are having premonitions about, and so they're able to escape their main death, the catastrophe, and then death kind of follows them. And I just love all the deaths because they're all these like Rube Goldberg type things where, you know, one thing leads to another that leads to that. And in order to just make the death more complicated because, you know, they escaped death before. So now it has to be some convoluted thing of why they die. What I like about these series too, is that they show the catastrophe the first time out, right? They show it. So you get all these great, crazy deaths. And then it's like, nope, that didn't really happen. And then you get to see everybody die again in a different way. So it's like you get all these deaths thrown at you and then, nope, okay, we're going to do it again. And yeah, I really enjoyed that. Part one, probably my favorite. Again, it's just good. And then part four is probably my least favorite because it just, the setting just isn't as have a biggest stakes or whatever as the other one, just because the first one is a plane crash. Second one is this huge highway wreckage or whatever. That is just cool because, you know, the big log truck, the logs come out. And to this day, when I see a big log truck, I'm always freaked out that it's going to come on the part and, you know, trample everybody. Part three is a roller coaster accident. Part five is a big like cable bridge coming apart. And then part four, the one I like, it's just a NASCAR event. It's like, okay, just wow. Okay. There's a big crash and a wheel comes off and just different things happen. It just, it wasn't as grand as some of the other ones. And, but otherwise the series is good. A little side note. The first Final Destination was filmed in my hometown of Victoria and for a good part. And some of it was filmed near a house where I used to live. But at the same time, I had a friend of mine who was in kind of like a film school and they were doing like a student project and they wanted to film like right behind the Parliament buildings, like on the road right behind the Parliament buildings, which, you know, but the people who they were applying to assumed that they were part of Final Destination and approved the permit, like with no obstacles at all. So they got to close down this main highway, this main road in Victoria for like half a day because they thought they were part of the whole Final Destination shoot. So that's just a little anecdote.
That's a fine anecdote.
Yes. So yes, Final Destination. And guess what? It's not the Final Destination. There's going to be a new one coming out as well.
Of course there is.
Yes. For HBO Max.
Okay. So my next little thing is the Hannibal Lecter series of movies.
Yes.
Now, I included all of them. I know mm-hmm. they're kind of Manhunter separate mm-hmm. from the rest mm-hmm. of them. And my favorite would be the TV show if I included it.
Right.
I did, mm-hmm. not. So obviously my favorite is The Silence of the Lambs. The first in the Jonathan Demme.
At least released. The first one with Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal Lecter. Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost a perfect movie. It's got great horror elements, great acting. It's just creepy. I don't think I have to say why. Everybody loves it. Mm-hmm. My least favorite is the follow-up, Hannibal.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't know. What's her name's gone?
Great. It's, Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore is now Starling.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Liotta's in it, but I don't know.
It's, yeah, I think they were trying to push the envelope a little
trying
bit.
Trying to jam too much into it. Because mm-hmm. I love Red Dragon. Mm-hmm. Hannibal Rising was pretty decent. But Hannibal just kind of sticks out like a sore thumb for some reason for me.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay.
The Hannibal Lecter film. Film.
Something. Extravaganzas.
Yes.
Yeah. For me, my next one is The Purge. There are, what is it? Five movies in this series, plus the two seasons of a TV series, which are both actually quite good. Most people know what The Purge is, a different universe where it's 12 hours on one day where all crime is legal and people just, resort to their animalistic thing ways and just do shit for the sake of doing shit, mostly murder and whatever. That's certainly what the movie focuses on. My least favorite, and not because Ethan Hawke is in it, is the first one. I'll just go for my least favorite right away. Because it was the least interesting one. I mean, the concept of The Purge was cool, but the whole thing is focuses on one family while people are trying to break into their house. And it just, all the action is very isolated and contained and just doesn't work. The series started to succeed when they took it out of that. Instead of having people out in the world while things are happening, trying to escape the riotous acts that are happening and trying to find shelter as opposed to already being in shelter. And so that my favorite would be the second one that first introduced that concept, Purge Anarchy, and with Frank Grillo as the lead, who's just, just a badass. And, the rest of them have been pretty good, pretty entertaining. There's always creative deaths. The costumers are always like the highlight of the movie. The masks that they come up with that are just creepy and outlandish, and it's just it's just a fun series. I enjoy it.
That's cool.
Yeah. Is it cool?
It's cool, man.
Yeah.
Next for me is Evil Dead.
Ooh.
I included the reboot or the...
Right, the reboot, yeah.
My favorite is obviously Evil Dead 2. It's so fucking insane that... it's... What do you say about it?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of wild stuff going on in this movie. It's basically a retelling of part one.
Mm-hmm.
But with
humor.
Humor. The whole house is animated. Like, not in a sense that it's an animated movie, but they've animated everything in the house to kind of be part of the movie.
And it's more of a one-man show. Like, it's Bruce Campbell. Bruce
Campbell just as Ash, just doing wild things. I watched this movie a lot when I was a kid. My least favorite, and not because it's a bad movie, it's probably just my least favorite is the reboot from, I guess, almost 10 years ago now.
Yeah.
It's really over the top, violent and bloody.
Lovely.
It lacks the humor of the original series. Because Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness, which is the second sequel, they're both basically comedies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's those guys, Bruce Campbell and the Raimis, that's their humor, So I guess if you turn over the franchise to somebody new, they're going to make their own vision and it's different, but it doesn't fit with the others, I guess. So,
but Bruce Campbell does have an awesome cameo in the reboot.
Yeah, but it's at the end.
Credits. It's very end. He just looks at the camera. He's in silhouette and then looks at the camera and says, "Groovy." And it's worth the price of admission.
I suppose.
Yes. Fine then.
Evil.
Evil Dead. Okay, so now we're going to get into some rehashing, because I'm going to have the Conjuring series as my next one that you've already discussed. I agree with you with the least, and this is, for me, this is just the three Conjuring movies, not the Conjuring universe. And for me, yes, my least favorite of those is part three. It just misses the mark. It just doesn't have the same elements that are in the first two that made the first two successful. The first one is great. It was the first movie in a long time that really gave me a sense of dread and kept me like amped up. It didn't scare me, but it almost pushed me there. It kept the tension up, and in a way that I hadn't been affected in a while. But my favorite one is part two. Probably because I was familiar with the story more, because I'd seen a BBC two-part movie with it, the Enfield Haunting. That was pretty good, and so I was familiar with the incident. And yeah, I just liked it. I liked it more. I found it more, I was more sympathetic with the family that there was, because it was a single mom and all the kids were getting haunted. This introduced the nun, and this is where the nun was actually fine. And the crooked man was a great ghost demon type character. And this is all in spite of the fact that Patrick Wilson pretends to be Elvis in the movie too, for like some 5 minute padding to the movie runtime of him just singing whatever Fool's Russian for the little girls or whatever. But other than that, I really enjoyed this part one and part two, but part two was probably my favorite one.
Fine. All right. So next for me is the Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm-hmm.
The original is the best, I think. Dream Warriors is close, but the original is still, it's original. It's,
yeah,
guy gets into your dreams. He can murder you in your dreams. These kids on Elm Street are being terrorized by this dream guy with razors for fingers. Freddy's less of a comedian, more of a menace.
He's really not in the first one as much as he certainly comes in the next one.
He's not overexposed. My least favorite is the remake. It's terrible. Oh, I
never saw the remake.
I don't know how you make a Freddy movie without what's his face?
Robert Englund.
Robert Englund, like, who did they have? Haley.
Jackie Earle Haley.
Yeah. Jack Earle Haley, like, okay, yeah. I guess. But just took itself way too seriously.
Mm.
They tried to do too much expose, I think. Like, first Nightmare on Elm Street, it's basically like, you don't know why Freddy's doing what he's doing, really. Dream Warriors would be a close second. Very inventive.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, the rest of the series is trash.
Yeah. That as a series almost made my top 10, but it didn't. And I would have been with you on I would have had a hard time choosing between part one and part three. Part six, probably my least favorite. Freddy's Dead.
Yeah, it's trash.
Because I haven't seen the remake. The reason why in general it didn't make my list is because outside of part one and part three, I think I've only ever seen the other ones once. So it's, I'm not really, you know, I don't really have a lot invested in the series. I did like New Nightmare. That was kind of cool. Kind of a meta type, part one, parts. That was part seven. But yeah, no, it's, if I'm going to rewatch the series, I throw on part one or throw on part three. I don't even bother with the other ones. But yeah, so that's why I didn't make my list. I'm not as versed in those as the other ones.
Fair enough.
Yes. Okay. My next one is I'm going to go with, again, going to be repeat. I have the Hannibal Lecter series. That is in mine. However, I have different favorite and a different least favorite. My favorite is Manhunter. I just love Michael Mann's style in general. I love his direction. I love the way he has films shot. As much as I love Red Dragon, Tom Noonan as the Tooth Fairy is just so menacing. He's just so creepy. And I really like Brian Cox as Hannibal Lecter. Like, he's very subtle and just pure, like, evil. I think I prefer, it's certainly compared to Red Dragon, I prefer William Peterson over Ed Norton in the role. It's just a really good, solid thriller. And,
you like Cox?
Yes, I like Brian. I like Brian's Cox. And my least favorite is Hannibal Rising. It just didn't do anything for me. I'm not sure why. And I didn't care for the actor. RIP. I think he died within the last couple of years in a skiing accident. But yeah, no, I didn't like the look on his face. He just had this cocky look on his face the entire time. And I'm like, okay, you're trying to bring something to this role, this coolness, but Hannibal Lecter isn't that slick, cool kind of character. And you're trying to, it's like, look at me, I'm being flashy. And I just didn't care for it. It can go piss off.
Whoa.
Not the actor, the movie.
Friday 13th is next for me.
Mm-hmm.
I loved this shit when I was a youngster. My fave is probably A New Beginning. The one in which it's not really Jason murdering anybody. It's ambulance driver Roy.
Right.
With the blue checkered mask, the blue mm-hmm. stripe. It's because there's so many ridiculous scenes. The whole outhouse scene with Demon,
mm-hmm.
Reggie the Reckless, the guy on the motorcycle with his mom. They're just kind of randomly live out in the where it's all taking place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just love this movie. My least favorite is Jason Goes to Hell. It is so fucking bad.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much stupidity to it. Like, why? I don't know if you've seen it.
Nope.
Or not.
I haven't seen part. That's the only one
I have. There's like this scene where it's like Jason is like a demon worm and he jumps from body to body. But there's one scene before he jumps into a body where the guy he's going to jump into, he shaves his mustache off.
Okay.
Like, for no fucking reason. I don't get it. It's just like
mustaches.
It's just a shitty movie. But I like most of the other ones. I even think Jason Takes Manhattan is good.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really take Manhattan until about 10 minutes left in the movie. Yes. But whatever. Mm-hmm. Jason Goes to Hell sucks.
Okay. that brings me to, again, retreading. Evil Dead for me. It's my next. And yeah, this, I didn't even think about including the remake. I did really enjoy the remake, though, just on its gratuitousness. But if I'm just going with the original three, the first one's my favorite, just on a pure horror level. This thing still creeps me out when the women are possessed in those movies. Their laughs and cackles and all that, and their rolled back eyes. It just really bothered me as a kid. And and part two was great, but it adds to humor. But the first one is just out and out, just scary. And I appreciate that. My least favorite is Army of Darkness, not because it's a bad movie. It does really go over the top on the camp, which is fine, but it really loses the horror element and the violence element. Like it's like a PG. It really doesn't have as strong as gore as the other ones. And so, and it's got some really dated special effects in there too. All the superimposed Bruce Campbell double type stuff. It's pretty bad if you watch it now. But it's still a fun movie, but it's no part one, which I think is wonderful.
Okay.
And I that's what I say. Now, what's your part two? Your second or whatever. I don't know what order you're doing it in. So what's your next
one? My next one is the Halloween franchise.
Oh.
So my favorite is Halloween 2. The original Halloween 2, not the Rob Zombie Halloween 2, not Halloween Kills, Halloween this, Halloween that.
Yeah.
There's so many mistakes in this movie, but it's just got this creepy element to it where, like, there's a kid that bites into a razor blade. Michael's ups the violence and the murder, and just the whole thing of him stalking Lori inside the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just like it a lot. I think it expands on the original. Like, don't get me wrong, the original's a classic, yada, mm-hmm. yada, yada, but I think second one's my personal favorite. Just adds a little bit to it. My least favorite is Halloween Resurrection.
What?
I believe we did an entire podcast on this.
Yes, we did.
It capitalized on the whole internet viral,
like reality show,
reality TV,
yeah,
type wave. Not good. Busta Rhymes is a terrible actor.
He knows karate and he can beat up Michael Myers.
The way they make the Myers house look like some sort of weird fun house with, like, mm-hmm. I don't know.
With all these secret rooms or whatever, yeah.
And, like, the whole beginning with Lori and, like, it's just terrible.
Yes.
There's a lot of movies in this franchise. The Rob Zombie ones, the new trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
But
part three,
part three, which is a good movie,
standalone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, those are the two that, favorite and least favorite.
Okay. Well, I guess this would be my last. If you have more, then you can feel free to continue. For me, it's the Friday the 13th. This is kind of the first, like, horror slasher series I really got into. it just, I mean, I'd watched Nightmare on Elm Street before. The first one I ever saw of Friday the 13th was Part 6. Like jumped right into the series, and I loved it. And that's still my favorite.
Part 6 is awesome.
It's got some good humor in it, but it's got some good kills, and it's just, it doesn't take itself too seriously. And it's got an awesome Rob Zombie soundtrack. Not Rob Zombie, you know. Alice Cooper soundtrack. It's just a lot of fun. And this is, you know, Jason getting resurrected by Horshack and friend. And he just goes on a rampage, and it's just a lot of fun. I mean, I like the first one, and you know, Part 4 is great. If I have to pick a least favorite, we did a full episode on Part 8, and I don't know. I don't remember New Blood that much. So I probably picked that one as my least favorite, because I really don't remember, other than the fact that the chick had telekinesis, and that's all I can really remember. And I don't think I haven't revisited that one while I've watched Manhattan a couple times. I love Jason, because there's just no nonsense with Jason. He's just a killing machine, and he just walks around. You know, he's not doing all these stupid one-liners or whatever. I even liked Freddy versus Jason. I like Jason X, even though a lot of people rip apart Jason X. It's just Uber Jason is awesome, and he's just badass. And I even like the remake. And I even like the reboot with Derek Mears, and we met him at a HorrorCon. He's a super nice guy, and I like that. But it's just a fun series. It doesn't take itself too seriously. It knows where it is, and it's not trying like to be something it's not. And you just go in there and want to see some people get killed, and you're going to see some people get killed. Yeah, that's lovely. Yep.
Just wait till you watch Jason Goes Dale. Then you'll have a new least favorite.
Okay. Assuming I watch it.
So my last one is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise. This is another one with multiple storylines, reboots, yeah. Reboot sequels.
Reboots, prequels.
So my favorite is the original, and I also like the original remake.
With Jessica Biel?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. But the original is like, but to me, that's guerrilla filmmaking. Like,
yeah, that's a grindhouse film there.
You can tell half the reactions in that movie are legit. Without question, you know, you're filming in the Texas heat. There's probably a lot of fucking bad smells going on, and you know, chainsaws going off, and which, I don't know, maybe they added those after, but this movie is gritty, grimy. It's almost got like a grindhouse, like X-rated type feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And like Leatherface is badass motherfucker, man.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the Netflix last year's, is it this year?
Yeah, it's from this earlier this year, yeah.
Just Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
It's,
I guess, a direct sequel to the original.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. A lot of people hated it, but man.
I know. I don't understand why all the hate is about.
It was violent.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, from the 80s with Dennis Hopper, is good as well. But it's good for different reasons. It's fucking it's insane.
Yeah.
Bill Moseley is insane.
Yeah.
But my least favorite is the 1995 The Next Generation,
which we did a podcast on.
With Matthew McConaughey and Renee Zellweger.
Yeah.
It's basically just fucking people walking down dirt roads.
Mm-hmm.
And just run into Leatherface, or run into Leatherface brother, or run into Leatherface dad, or whatever. And then it's the last half of the movie is basically a copy of the original movie. Like, it's
right.
Except the brains of the operation is McConaughey's character.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember his name.
No, but there's nary a chainsaw in the movie.
No,
either. Like, no.
And yeah, it's almost like Leatherface is an afterthought in this one.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but the originals. It's a wild time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I too like the newest one. And if I go on Letterboxd and I've listed all the movies and put them on a list of all the movies I've seen from this year, and if I put them in order of audience rating out of the 60 to 70 movies I've seen this year, Chainsaw is at the bottom. Out of all the movies I've seen, like, it's been ranked the lowest.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Like, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, do you have any more you want to touch on, or is that?
I had The Purge.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite one is the first Purge, the one where it's kind of kept to, like, Staten Island or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of shows a little bit about how greasy the government tried to make this.
Yeah, it's the rollout. It's the kind of the guinea pig city of to see if they should go nationwide.
They pick like the poor people to, you know.
Yeah. And they're putting their thumb on the scale too by paying people to stay on the island and not leave and all that kind of stuff.
And basically, like, instead of going out and killing, like, the residents basically have parties.
Yeah.
So the government's like paying people to go in and start murdering people.
Yeah. And they give people eye cameras.
Yeah.
So then that way, if for anybody that they kill, they get paid for as well. In order, because they want this to be a success so they can go out nationwide with the whole thing. So
then the hero ends up being a drug dealer. So,
yes.
My least favorite is probably the Forever Purge.
Right.
The latest one. It's not bad. Mm-hmm. I just think it's getting a little old.
Right.
But then Alien, obviously.
Yeah.
My favorite is Aliens, the sequel. My least favorite is probably Resurrection.
Right. Not Alien v. Predator or Alien v. Predator Requiem?
No.
No.
I didn't really care for Prometheus at first either, but it's gotten a little better.
Mm-hmm. I have some honorable mentions just because these will only have two parts and I'm hoping for a third, or there's talk of a third. And so I'm holding out. So that's Zombieland. There's talk of them doing a third one because the first sequel is like 10 years after the first one. So they've said, oh, we'd love to do another one in 10 years. So maybe in a few years, they'll do a part three for Zombieland. That would be cool. We've already discussed it earlier in this podcast, and that's the Ty West, Mia Goth trilogy. Well, so we got Pearl X, and then Maxine is supposed to be coming out probably sometime next year. I'm looking forward to that. And then there's ones called The Collector and The Collection. There's supposed to be a part three. That was kind of put on hold, but hopefully they reboot it. They get it started again. But those are just, again, I think they're from the writers of a couple of the Saw movies. Those have some good, cool Rube Goldberg type mechanics. And it's just got some really creative kills. And the Collector is a pretty good villain. And so I'm hoping for a part three for that one.
Cool, man.
So there.
So that's the list then.
That is the list. And now it's time.
I already did my pick of the pod, so.
Yes. Pick of the pod. Pod. Drop it. Drop it. Put the drop. Pick of the pod.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Hey, everybody. Quiet down, please.
these two jerks have an opinion. Here is this episode's pick of the pod.
So my pick of the pod is a, well, it just happens to be a horror movie, as we're talking about things. And this is a Welsh horror film entitled The Feast. It came out earlier this year. And this is about a couple kind of having a dinner party. No, that's two guys that are business partners who do excavating on land, and they want, it's kind of a ruse to get this other lady who has a neighboring farm there, because they want to do some excavating on her land as well. But by doing the excavating, it's disturbing some old burial site or whatever. And there's this, they hire help to help with this dinner party, and this mysterious person shows up, and things just are a little off with her, and things just start happening, and it's pretty creepy. And yeah, it's a good slow burn. And but yeah, no, it's I enjoyed it. Yes, right. It's funny because it's all in Welsh, except when they swear, it's just like all of a sudden somebody will drop something and go, "Oh, for fuck's sake!" And it's like just perfect straight English, but everything else is,
"Oh, for fuck's sake!
Oh, for fuck's sake!" But everything else is Welsh. But yeah, no, it was a really impressive movie, and I quite enjoyed it. The Feast.
Ooh. Where is it?
Oh, I own it, so I bought it. It's mine. I don't know where it's on. Anything. And there's a couple things that came out in their last recent years called The Feast. And there's also a series that's Feast and Feast 1 and Feast 2. So it's not those ones. It's The Feast.
Okay.
So, yes. Yeah. So I guess it's my turn to reveal the theme for next week. And this is probably going to be a toughie. I like doing toughies, mostly because I can't think of things, so things just pop in my head, and I have to grunt with it because I can't think of anything else. But it does go with, I'm assuming we're going to record the next one in October as well. Hopefully we can get within the next couple weeks. Favorite death scene. And it doesn't have to be strictly within a horror movie, but in favorite death scenes in movies.
All right.
Yeah.
I can dig it.
You can dig it. Yes. So, anything else you want to talk about? Anything else going on?
Yeah, I got nothing.
You got nothing? Okay, then. I guess we shall sign off then. So,
all right.
Yeah. Till next time, this is Scott signing off for a Flicka Smackus.
This is Terrence signing off for Flicka Smackus.
Yeah, till next time.
Toodles.